was the God of the Old Testament? Whose voice thundered the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai? Who actually created the heavens and the earth? Do you know the real answer to these questions? Can you really prove it? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith answers the question, who was the God of the Old Testament? Now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, millions do not know who Jesus Christ really was. Most theologians do know, but they very seldom talk about it. Why? As you will soon see, it is vitally important that you learn who the Lord, the God of the Old Testament, really was. Who was it who spoke to Abraham back there in the Old Testament? Who was it who actually spoke the Ten Commandments? Who was it to whom David prayed the beloved Psalms written in the book of Psalms? Go get your Bible. Check up on me. This is fascinating information. Turn with me if you would. First of all, get your Bible. Be sure you prove what we're saying here. Don't believe me. You believe what you read in the pages of your Bible. These are things most of you probably have never understood. Turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, first of all, and verse 1. Notice what God's Word says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see, in the beginning, He was there. In the beginning. We don't know who that was. Now, some preachers have tried to say that was 6,000 years ago. God doesn't say that. It may have been billions of years ago, as the scientists say, but of course, they don't know either. They toss around billions of years like ping pong balls. Some of them say the earth was created, or everything came into existence 4.5 billion years ago. Others have said 18 billion. Others have said 24 billion. They don't know, and you don't know, and I don't know. But whenever the beginning was, God created the heavens and the earth, and in the beginning was the Word. The revelatory principle, the spokesman, the second personality was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Notice that, my friends. All things, everything, was made through the Word, the spokesman, who later emptied Himself and became Jesus Christ. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. No, when Christ came, men did not know who He was. They did not accept Him then. They killed Him instead. Notice down here in verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him. The world was made through the One who became Jesus Christ. And the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. No, they did not know who He was. He was their Creator come in person. Christ preexisted. He was in the beginning with God the Father. He was the second person in the God family. He was the one who spoke the Word, and it was done. Notice over in John chapter 8 now. Let's turn to the 8th chapter of John. And here the Pharisees have kind of gotten into it with Jesus Christ. And notice this heated interchange between Christ and the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders of His day. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, Jesus said, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to Him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, notice, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He used an expression that the Jews understood meant the ever-living One, the One with life inherent within Himself, the One who was the God of Israel. They understood that's what He was saying. That's why they got so upset here. Then they took up stones to throw at Him. See, they thought He was blaspheming. But Jesus hid Himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. We don't know how He hid Himself. It never pictures Christ running off as a coward at any time. But I frankly think God blinded their eyes in some way, and He got away from there. It was not yet His time to die. Jesus said, I am. Notice back in Exodus, the third chapter, if you turn there with me in your Old Testament. Let's know where, notice where this comes from in the Word of God. Exodus chapter 3 now, and let's begin in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. Here we find, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus shall you say to the children, I am has sent you. This is verse 14. I am was the name of the God of Israel. And Jesus said he was the I am. And the Apostle John said he created all things. He was the one through whom God the Father created everything that is. Notice now over in Ephesians chapter 3. In your New Testament, the Apostle Paul is writing, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. To me, Paul said, who am less than the least of all saints, this grace was given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all people see what is the fellowship of the mystery, talking about the mystery of God, God making us His full sons, the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, notice, who created all things through Jesus Christ. Now, the King James has it this way, and the New King James and other translations have it this way. Some of the modern translations try to leave that part out, but they are wrong. The correct text is the Byzantine text, or the received text, and that has this part of it in. God created all things through Jesus Christ. But if that were not enough, we've already seen it in the Gospel of John. They haven't changed that one. And let's go over into Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 now and verse 15. Notice, Christ, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Yes, He is the great God, along with God the Father, the second person, the one who speaks for the Father. So we want to fully understand that. Now let's turn back to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, a little later on in your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 1, and let's begin in the very first verse. God, who at various times in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He's appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. God made the worlds through Jesus Christ. God made the universe through Jesus Christ. He is the God of creation, and He is the God of the Old Testament. Let's notice another scripture that says that specific part of it even more clearly. Turn with me now, if you would, back to 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, another statement from the Apostle Paul, inspired by Almighty God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul writes, Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was the God of Israel. Christ was the one who followed them around. He was the one who led them in a pillar of fire by night and in the cloud by day. Jesus Christ, that personality, was the God of Israel. Let's notice now, if you would, back in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32, and we see a little bit here about that rock. Deuteronomy 32, and he says here in verse 3, For I proclaim the name of the Eternal, ascribe greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. You see, the rock is the term used, of course, for Jesus Christ. And Christ did say later to Peter, Upon this rock, meaning Himself, I will build my church. He is the rock, and He was the rock back there. Notice verse 15 now, Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun, which means righteous Jacob, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, you grew thick, you're covered with fat. Then he forsook God. When Israel got very wealthy, when they got very powerful, when they got fat, in a picturesque way of putting it, then they forsook God who made them, and scornfully esteemed the rock of His salvation. They scornfully treated Jesus Christ, their rock, their God, the one who blessed them, the one who brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, I mean, the one who led them through the Red Sea, the one who did all these things for them. They scornfully treated the rock. They provoked him to jealousy with foreign gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons. Yes, there are demon spirits, and people today sacrifice to them. A lot of Americans or tourists who go over and take pictures of it, they think it's cute. It's not cute. It's an abomination to Almighty God. They sacrificed to demons and not to God, to gods they did not know, to new gods, new arrivals that your fathers did not fear. Of the rock who begot you, your real God, the one who gave you life and breath, the one who guided your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the one who brought you out of Egypt and so on, of the rock who begot you, you're unmindful and have forgotten the God who fathered you. Yes, Christ was and is that rock. He was the rock of ancient Israel. He's the one who was the great God, the God of Israel, to whom Abraham prayed, and Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David. At this point, my friends, I want to urge you to call or write today for an audio tape of this same program. This will give you a chance to check up and prove these things even more thoroughly to yourself. This tape will be sent absolutely free, no charge, no obligation. This tape will be sent free upon your request, and with it, we'll automatically send you a free subscription, totally free, to our bi-monthly magazine entitled Tomorrow's World, the same as this program. This beautiful magazine contains powerful articles about prophecy, about the meaning of life, and about how to obtain God's blessing and God's protection in the perilous years ahead. So call today and request your free audio tape of this program.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic. Who was the God of the Old Testament? A few moments ago, we were in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. He's talking here about the God of Israel, the one who led ancient Israel out of Egypt, the one who led them through the Red Sea, the one who gave the Ten Commandments. And in 1 Corinthians 10:4, God says through the Apostle Paul, that rock, that God of Israel, that rock was Christ. So we need to realize that when we read about the one who was working with people back in the Old Testament, the one that dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the prophets, that one, that great personality, was Jesus Christ. He led Israel out of Egypt with a pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He's the one who spoke the Ten Commandments. Jesus Christ did. He gave the law of God. Notice now in John chapter 5, John chapter 5 and verse 21, for as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, Jesus said, even so the Son of Man gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Who are you and I going to be judged by? Not God the Father directly. God has always dealt with humanity, my friends, through the person who became Jesus Christ. He lived on this earth 1,900 years ago, or nearly 2,000 years ago now. He was tempted in all points like as we are, as it tells us back in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. He felt the pulls of the flesh. He understands. He really understands what it is like to be human. And he can fairly judge us. He's able to judge us in a fair and a loving and an understanding way. He is our judge. God has appointed him to do that. The Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, notice, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. We've got to honor God by honoring the Son. And Jesus Christ was the God of creation. Most assuredly, he said, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me who sent me has everlasting life. Now, you're not immortal yet, but you have the presence of eternal life in you through the Holy Spirit, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. You'll notice how, though, through the resurrection later on. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead, yes, people are dead, they don't know anything, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live in the resurrection. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Remember, that's why Jesus said, as we saw earlier in this program, he said, my name is I Am. He was the I Am, the Creator of the Old Testament, come now in the human flesh. So he's given the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Christ is able to execute judgment. Why? Not just because he's the Son of God, my friends. That's wonderful. But also because he was the Son of Man. Because, as I said a moment ago, he was in the human flesh. He lived here among us for 33 and a half years. And many of you listeners are younger than that yourselves. He lived here that period of time. He felt and experienced the power of Satan. He felt and experienced the pulls of sin. He had to wrestle against it. He cried out to God with tears running down his face for help from God. He does understand. That personality who has love and total understanding, he is our judge, the judge of all the earth. Notice now, back in Genesis, if you would, he tells us that back here in a different way. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, my friends. I think this is an interesting passage because it tells us something in a different way we might not otherwise understand. Genesis 18 and verse 23. Here Christ, the God of the Old Testament, was on the way to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's very clear. He was on the way to destroy them because of their gross immorality. And so Abraham came near and said, he'd heard Christ, or this personality, whom we know was Christ, talk about going over there and wiping them out. And he said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? He was asking the one who became Christ. Far be it from you, you see, the judge of the earth, the one who became Christ, far be it from you, Abraham says, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham knew who he was talking to. He was talking to this spirit being who came, who was the God of the Old Testament, who appeared back there as Melchizedek, and in other ways to human beings. And he was the God, the judge of all the earth. That's interesting. Even Abraham, the father of the faithful, understood that. Now let's go to Genesis chapter 1. This tells us a little bit more about Jesus Christ and his preexistence and his office. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The Hebrew word that is used here is Elohim, for God. Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M. It is a plural noun, a plural word. It means more than one. It's a word like church. It's a word like family. One family, but many members. So we need to grasp that fact. He's talking about more than one in God. Who were these people? Well, I think by now you understand. They were God the Father and God the Son, as he became later, although he was not yet the Son of God. Let's understand that until he emptied himself and became born of the Virgin Mary. Drop down to verse 26. After describing the creation of the animals, the plants, and everything else on the earth, then God said, verse 26, let us make man in our image. He didn't say, let me make man in my image. Here Christ is speaking for God the Father, for the family, let us make man in our image, more than one. So man is made in the image of God. According to our likeness, he repeats, our. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. but he created them not in his image, but in our image, Jesus said, or the word the Logos said. So God created the earth through Christ. Christ is the one who did the creating, we saw in scripture after scripture in the first part of the program. Let's understand again, my friends, God has always spoken and dealt with mankind through the Word. The Word was with God from eternity. The Word then was the one who was used to speak the Word, and the heavens and the earth as we now know them came into existence. Later on, God put man on the earth and made him in his image, in our image, as the spokesman said, the image of God and the image of Christ, who were both God, as a matter of fact, both of the God level of existence, the God family. God always dealt with human beings. He dealt with Abraham and Isaac and Israel. He dealt with Moses. He dealt with David. He dealt with all the prophets through the personality who became Jesus Christ. Then Christ emptied himself, as we read in Philippians chapter 2, gave up his glory and majesty and became a human being willing to die for our sins. He lived on this earth, and God was dealing with mankind again through Jesus Christ. Then after Christ's death, what happened? He was resurrected. He ascended to the right hand of God, and what's happening now? Again, God is dealing with us through Jesus Christ. And as I said earlier, and I think I'll turn to that at this point, give you a special scripture here. I hadn't planned to, but that's helpful. Hebrews chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, this tells us more about Jesus Christ. God is again dealing with mankind through the personality who became Jesus Christ, was Jesus in the human flesh, and now is the living Christ sitting at the right hand of God in heaven. Notice it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." Christ was tempted in every way as we are as human beings. As I say, he felt the pulls of the flesh. Now, he didn't entertain them. He didn't run them around in his mind as we do. God says, "He who looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already." Jesus didn't do that. He noticed the beautiful young women in Israel, and they must have been very beautiful. They were very healthy. They had fresh air, fresh water, good wholesome food. The wheat germ was in the wheat, as we say back in those days. They were very healthy. But Jesus looked and thought, "That is beautiful. This person, this woman is beautiful, but I am on a mission. I am the Son of God. I've got to die for the sins of the world." He put that right out of his mind. After that, he did not run it around in his mind or entertain any thought of evil at any time. He was tempted in all points, though. He understands that pull. He cried out to God for help to overcome that. Therefore, he's able to be our merciful and faithful high priest, and he's able to be our merciful judge. He is the judge of mankind. Tempted in all points, yet without sin. Let us therefore, knowing we have that kind of high priest, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You and I need to come boldly before God. Lift up our hands and say, "Father, Lord Jesus, at the Father's right hand, we love you, we worship you, we adore you. Help us, lead us, guide us, teach us, show us your will. Help us to overcome ourselves and the world of the devil and to serve you as you would have us to do, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Yes, we can find that grace. We can find that help by coming to God through Jesus Christ, our living high priest. God has always dealt with mankind through Christ. Then when Christ comes again, he'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God will continue to deal with mankind through Jesus Christ. So let's understand. Turn now to Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. Matthew chapter 22 at this point and verse 41. Notice here what was done. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, "What do you think about Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "How then does David in spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool'?" In other words, you look back at that statement from Psalm 110 and verse 1, which Christ is quoting from, and he says, "The Lord," who was that Lord had to be God the Father. "The Lord said to my Lord," the immediate Lord of David, who was Christ, who was the Rock of Israel. the Lord said to Christ, the Logos, sit at my right hand, which Christ is now doing, till I make your enemies your footstool. So even David understood, as well as Abraham, who Christ was. Christ was the Lord of Abraham, and he is the one to whom David prayed and cried out the Psalms to and sang the Psalms to. Christ was the Lord Moses prayed to. Christ was the one who gave the Ten Commandments. He's the one who spoke God's commandments, God's law. And when you read about them, realize they're the law of Jesus Christ. So when you read about the God of the Old Testament, understand who he was. He's the one who later came in the human flesh and died for our sins. We must worship and obey Jesus Christ because he was and is very God. Again, write or call now for an audio tape of this very program. This will give you a chance to check up and prove these things even more thoroughly to yourself. This tape will be sent absolutely free upon your request. And with it, we'll automatically send you a free subscription to our bi-monthly magazine entitled Tomorrow's World. This beautiful magazine contains powerful articles about prophecy, about the meaning of life, and about how to obtain God's blessing and protection in the years ahead. So call today and request your free audio tape of this program.
This informative audio tape is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Be sure to tune in next week, my friends, to Tomorrow's World television program. Richard Ames and I will be giving you powerful and insightful messages on biblical prophecy and on the real meaning of life. We'll provide you answers that you cannot obtain anywhere else. So tune in next week at the same time for Tomorrow's World. See you right here next week.
The informative audio cassette offered on this program is yours absolutely free if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. Be sure to visit our webpage at www.tomorrowsworld.org. That address again is www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.